From the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
This week on the Weekend Edition of Washington Watch, Israel, the UN, and the U.S., polling on a peace deal, and a new leader at the RNC. Greetings, fellow patriots, and happy Resurrection Weekend. I'm David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, Christian husband, and Reagan Republican. With the Biden administration becoming more and more anti-Israel, including abstaining from a UN vote calling for an immediate ceasefire, what can Republicans do to help our friends in Israel? Joining Tony Perkins on Wednesday to talk about it was House Majority Leader Steve Scalise of Louisiana.
Leader Scalise, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, it's great to be back with you, Tony. Thanks for having me.
So when Congress returns, one of the first issues they will face is funding for our ally Israel, which currently is connected to funding of Ukraine, which does not have as much support in the House. What's going to happen?
Well, you've seen us move strong Israel aid packages in the past. We're going to continue to make sure we're standing with Israel. And look at the threat you just highlighted. Out of the White House, we're seeing open hostility towards the Jewish state of Israel, towards what Benjamin Netanyahu and his united coalition government is trying to do to destroy and eviscerate from the White House. They don't stand with this administration. I've never seen this before in the history of our relationship going back to the formation of Israel as a Jewish state. So we need to continue to stand with Israel. House Republicans surely do. And so we're going to make sure we get them the aid they need. Obviously, there's other issues where we're at odds, but on Israel, we are united in the House on the Republican side. What is happening to the Democrat Party is disgraceful to see them literally walking away from Israel before our very eyes and having basically a warm embrace towards this this movement you're seeing against Israel and towards a lot of the kind of the hostility against Israel. I don't know where it started coming from, but the far left really started moving it, and I think people are fed up with that.
So Congressman Scalise, you and I went to Israel a number of years ago, probably about a dozen years ago, in a bipartisan group from Congress, Democrats and Republicans. And as you said, this historically, the issue of Israel, standing with Israel, has been a bipartisan issue. Until now, what's changed?
I think you've seen the radical left take over the Democrat Party, and you've seen Joe Biden move with them. Joe Biden's always, again, if you look at his 50-year career in public office, he's been a weather vane for the Democrat Party. When they were the, you know, kind of the party that worked with Newt Gingrich to balance budgets, he was there with them. When they were just kind of the traditional liberal union party. But then once they became a socialist movement with Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren and AOC as the stalwarts, Joe Biden started listening to them and taking his orders from them. And the problem is that they're hostile towards Israel. You saw Chuck Schumer making those comments the other day, calling for literally a change in administration. You even had some of Bibi's opponents in Israel standing behind Bibi because they're at war right now. This is not a right time where you walk away from your allies. And yet some in the Democrat Party in Washington are doing just that. You saw, you know, what the White House did, not vetoing that action by the UN Security Council to literally go after Israel, call for a ceasefire without even demanding that the hostages be released by Hamas. They're literally trying to equate Hamas and Israel on the same level, and they're not. Hamas ended the ceasefire on October 7th when they invaded and brutally murdered, barbarically murdered women, children, others, and took hostages that they still have to this day.
So, as you stated, Israel, the Republicans, unified funding for Israel. Will we see a separation? Right now, the supplemental includes both Israel, Ukraine, the bulk of the money going to Ukraine, and then some for Taiwan. Is the House going to separate that and deal with them one by one?
Exactly how it happens is still open. A lot of discussions are going on. You know, there's a lot of interest as it relates to Ukraine, at least. Number one, to see us stand up to Putin, but to make sure that it's paid for. There's a bill called the Repo Act that would use Russian oligarch money to pay for aid to Ukraine, for example, and only limit it to the lethal aid, not propping up their government. and doing it as a loan, by the way. President Trump talked about that. There's a lot of interest in that as well. So, you know, no final decisions have been made, but some good creative ideas are being put on the table as it relates to Ukraine. But Israel, we've been right there with Israel, and we will not waver.
All right. Full disclosure, you and I are both good friends with Mike Johnson, all of us from Louisiana. Mike inherited a pretty difficult job after working the way through this last appropriations bill, where the table was pretty much set for him. And there's a lot of bad stuff in those appropriations bills that conservatives, myself included, didn't like. What options did he have?
They were very limited, unfortunately, Tony. And part of it starts with only a one-seat majority in the House. There's some of our members that weren't going to support anything, no matter what you put. We wanted to put some border security measures there, and there were some members that weren't even going to vote for that. And so, you know, the other side knows that, and it weakens the negotiating position. But at the end of the day, you know, we made it clear we weren't going to go backward and fund any additional things. Joe Biden, by the way, wanted billions more to process more illegals. He didn't get that. In fact, he got a 20% cut. Those NGOs, the groups that are moving illegals all around the country, they're going to take a 20% cut. I'd like to see even more cut, but at least that was something that was negotiated. The lion's share of that bill, by the way, over 70% of that bill was funding our Department of Defense, including the largest pay raise our troops have gotten in decades. And I think everybody would agree that our troops deserve that. We need to realign our Department of Defense to focus on the threat that China poses. That was also in the bill. That doesn't get talked about because, you know, you and I can both agree on the things that we didn't like in that bill. 70% of the bill funds defense. If that goes away, we see a cut to defense at a time when the world is on fire.
So some were saying, well, you should have just shut the government down over the issue and refused to move forward with it. But at some point, you have to open government back up. And with that one-seat margin, I mean, what would you have had to give up to open government back up? Couldn't the end result be worse than what we saw in this bill?
Oh, it would have been much worse. And we had some of the members that were calling for a shutdown that were very clear that they wouldn't vote to come out of a shutdown. And look, let's be clear about a shutdown. A shutdown doesn't end Joe Biden's border policy. The president during a shutdown gets to decide what gets funded and what doesn't. That's not a law I like. It's a law that goes back to the 1970s, where Congress started giving away the power of the purse. I think a lot of people in America think that the federal government works like most states. You know, our home state of Louisiana is like most states that has what's called zero-based budgeting, meaning if there's a shutdown, everything goes to zero. Government doesn't get a dime until they get an agreement. That's not how Washington works. During a shutdown, everything gets funded at current levels except the things the president of the United States deems non-essential. Well, guess what? This president is going to deem essential and non-essential. It's not going to be the things you and I agree with. So that's one of the challenges that you face, is that if you get a shutdown, Joe Biden's making the decisions over what gets funded and what doesn't, you know, and he would cut defense and other things that are important to us. He would not cut the processing of illegals. And we were just able to get a 20% cut there. We were able to give our Border Patrol agents more tools today to stop the flow of illegals, which is why the head of the Border Patrol supported that bill, by the way. So, you know, again, there were a lot of bad choices. The real answer, Tony, is in November. We've got to get Donald Trump elected president if we want to really stop this madness. I mean, and I think, by the way, I think that will happen.
I mean, this is really kind of a choice between bad and ugly. And you know, you're right. Ultimately, we've got to increase those margins and get control of the Senate in order to get these measures through, and the White House, I would add. Steve Scalise, great to see you. Thanks so much for taking time to join us today.
Always great being back with you. Happy Easter, Tony.
All right. Same to you, Steve. All right. Coming up, a new poll reveals what happens when the public actually sees what Biden is pushing in the Middle East. They don't like it. Stay tuned.
For 40 years, Family Research Council has been in Washington, D.C., championing faith, family, and freedom in public policy and the culture from a biblical worldview. But it isn't easy. As the culture continues to become increasingly divided, believers must continue defending biblical truth while many on the left wish to silence and marginalize Christians. Will you join us? Your financial support has never been more important. Thanks to your partnership, we can continue to reach more Americans with the important news from Washington, D.C. Equip believers to stand firm in our culture and defend biblical truth in the halls of government. Every donation we receive will go towards preserving and advancing policies for a culture that honors faith, family, and freedom. To give, text the word GIVE to 67742. Again, text GIVE to 67742.
Most of us have wrestled with deep questions about the meaning of life at one time or another. Thankfully, Family Research Council's Center for Biblical Worldview's latest publication, titled An Introduction to Worldview, provides the answers. With this new resource, we invite you, your family, and your church to evaluate what makes up a worldview and to see how a biblical worldview provides the most satisfying answers to life's biggest questions. To read the full publication, visit frc.org/worldview. Again, that's frc.org/worldview.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. Good to have you with us on this Wednesday afternoon. The website, TonyPerkins.com. And by the way, lots of folks have contacted us, say, yes, I want to pray for Israel, want to stand with Israel. And so let me encourage you, if you've not yet done that, we've got something in the works, a big day planned for May on a Sunday. And I'll have more details about that as I've been talking with pastors across the country today. But if you'd like to know about that and be plugged in, text Israel to 67742. That's 67742, the word Israel. We've got to stand with Israel. In this election year, now the legacy media continues to play up headlines proclaiming that the public support for Israel has declined. I saw a poll today. And we've already seen the Biden administration abandon Israel just this week to appease their far-left base. And as we were just talking about with Leader Scalise, this is historic because Israel and the support for Israel has been a bipartisan issue for a multitude of reasons. One, they're our strongest ally in the Middle East. They're really a stabilizing force in the Middle East. And for most conservatives, Christians in particular, there's a spiritual component here. Now, the media wants to say that, hey, Americans are walking away. But a recent public survey conducted by Gideon 300 reveals that when voters become informed, actually find out what the Biden administration is pushing, and the fact that the Palestinian Authority is aligned with Hamas, the terrorist, yes, that's right, they dramatically shift their opinions, backing away from wanting to push Israel into a so-called peace deal. It's anything but peaceful. And that shift is most dramatic among, guess who? Democrats. Join me now to explain the numbers is Matthew Faraci. He is the president of Gideon 300. Matthew, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, and don't I also get some honorific as president of the Tony Perkins Jewish Fan Club or something like that? I think so.
The T-shirt's in the mail.
Okay. I'm excited about your May event, Tony. So, Tony, one thing that exactly what you said, don't believe what you're seeing on Twitter.
Hey, Matthew, let me stop you just a second. Move over to your right just a little bit.
Okay.
I want to see Alf. I want to see Alf behind you.
That's right. Sorry. This is something that a passion that Tony and I share, which is a love for the show Alf. This was back when television was wholesome and taught good values and you could have a good, clean laugh.
That's right.
Right.
Now go ahead and finish your thought.
Okay. So, there's a Harris X, I'm not making this up, there's a Harris X Harvard TAPS poll that they do quite regularly. And one of the things that we've seen in this poll back from the beginning, since October 7th, is that support for Israel hovers around 79-80% of America versus Hamas. This is voters versus Hamas. So I've seen this number over and over and over again. And in fact, one of the interesting trends is that young people have actually trended more supportive, which again goes against everything you see from the propaganda official state media that we're fed every day. So we conducted a poll with Scott Rasmussen, RMG Research, which was fascinating. But Tony, can I back up and just tell your viewers for 2 seconds what's going on besides the whole Rafah plan to stop the Rafah invasion? Okay, so the Biden State Department is, a lot of people have been wondering, why is there so much tension between Bibi and the and Biden and the State Department and this whole thing? But what's the tension over? And part of the tension is clearly that the U.S., for various reasons, which we could go into if we had more time, doesn't want Israel to finish the job and take out Hamas and invade Rafah. But the sleight of hand, the quiet other thing that they are pressuring Israel for is that they ultimately want Israel to settle for a two-state solution, which means the end of Israel. And the State Department, from public reports that are out there that I've read and other people, a lot of other people have read, is trying to polish up the Palestinian Authority and make them look more palatable, so that, because the question is, Tony, who, if there's a two-state solution, who would such a solution be with? Who's the person making the deal on the other end? And what the Biden administration is doing is saying, well, that's going to be the Palestinian Authority, the more moderate, peaceful wing of governance over there. So we asked voters this sort of simple question: hey, would you be open to a peace deal with the Palestinian Authority? And roughly, and about 55%, slim majority, said sure, that doesn't sound like a bad idea. And then in the survey, and this was, I give Scott all the credit for this, not my idea at all. Scott's idea was, well, why don't we ask them, we'll put other information in front of them and see if people change their view. So we said, essentially, given the Palestinian Authority's alignment with Hamas, for example, Tony, you know, they called for a unity government with Hamas before they moderated their stance and said, oh, wait a minute, we might have to wait because of public opinion. But given that a lot of the people, for instance, people in Palestinian Authority controlled areas have voiced support for Hamas in some polls as high as 80%, given that there have been over 4,000 attempted terrorist attacks from just the West Bank since October 7th, once people started to learn the details of that, they swung in their opinion. And Tony, I've never seen a swing this big in any poll I've ever done, and I've done hundreds of them.
So, Matthew, you're saying facts matter?
Yeah, shocking. Shocking. Facts matter. And Tony, the biggest swing was Democrats. 30 points. They went from majority in support of this deal to against the deal.
So let me ask you this. I know you haven't asked this question, but let me put one out there that you ought to ask. When we look at the money that's actually flowing from the United States to Iran, remember all the money we unfroze? That I was over in Israel just a week and a half ago and was briefed, showing me the money trail of that money from Iran going to Hamas, Hezbollah. We also have the UN giving, we've given $1 billion in the last 3 years. That money has gone to Hamas as well. Matthew, I'm hearing music. That means we're out of time. But those are some questions you should dig into, because you've got some good information here, and I think the public needs to know the facts. It makes a difference.
Let me just leave you with this, Tony. When I first came to D.C. a million years ago, I worked for the great legendary TV host John McLaughlin, who you knew. And John told me to remember one rule, which I thought was so cynical at the time, and now I realize it's true. Yeah. He said, just remember that politics always drives policy.
That's
every
right.
time.
That's right. Thanks, Matthew. Stick with us, folks. We're coming
Thanks,
back
Tony.
After this.
The news reflects the world we live in, but it also shapes it. Like it or not, what we learn about the world on a daily basis impacts our thinking, our worldview, and ultimately our action. So much of today's media is built on a shaky foundation that can send us hurling toward harmful ideas and hopeless solutions. Family Research Council created the Washington Stand to be a news outlet that speaks from a firm foundation, bringing you news, commentary, and analysis of what's happening in America and around the world. The Washington Stand is unapologetically biblical and uncompromisingly committed to truth. Equip yourself for the world we live in with a biblical worldview found daily at the Washington Stand. Find us at WashingtonStand.com. That's WashingtonStand.com.
If you're a young adult passionate about seeing biblical values championed in our country, check out Family Research Council's internship program. This three-month program is both a discipleship and development opportunity where you get to take part in truly meaningful work and help advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and our culture. Featuring hands-on experience, biblical worldview training, free housing, and more, this internship is a great opportunity for spiritual and professional development. Check out frc.org/internships to apply today.
Welcome back to Washington Watch, the website tonyperkins.com, and to join us in praying for Israel, text the word Israel to 67742. The cancel culture, yes, it came for yet another conservative voice. Following on-air meltdowns from the likes of Chuck Todd and Rachel Maddow, NBC News has canceled former RNC chairwoman Ronna McDaniel as an on-air contributor. Now, thanks to those brave journalists over at MSNBC, viewers will not have to worry about getting triggered when they hear a conservative voice. But why was Ronna such a sore spot for NBC News? And what is the deeper motivation in their trying to smear certain conservatives by calling them election deniers when they themselves denied the outcome of the 2016 election? Joining me now to discuss this, Michael Whatley, the new chair of the Republican National Committee. Michael, welcome to Washington Watch.
It is great to be on with you, Tony. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk with you and all the work that you do.
Well, and let me first of all congratulate you in your new position as RNC chair. I know you're going to do a great job. But, you know, you're going to take a lot of arrows. The target is on you now, just as it was on Ronna. This program actually started because of the cancel culture. We've been doing this now. We were kind of at the tip of the spear when the cancel culture came. But what does this tell us about legacy media when someone like Ronna, who is leading a national party, cannot even find a space when there's all kinds of Democrats over there?
Yeah, it really is. It just speaks to the double standard that we're seeing out of the media these days. You know, you think about Jen Psaki, who went straight from the Biden White House to MSNBC. Not a single complaint from any of their journalists over there. You know, the fact that cycle after cycle, we see guys like Chuck Todd and George Stephanopoulos get hired, and there's absolutely not a peep. But when Ronna gets brought on board, you'd act like it was the end of the world. I think that this just really shows you the bias that we see from the liberal elite media.
You know, they repeatedly said this was because she denied the election outcome of 2020. Is this to try to scare people like yourself, people of influencers, people in significant positions from questioning the outcome of future elections when this is something that they've done for years, multiple times?
Yeah, I think there's really two things to it. The first is exactly what you just said. They really do want to try and silence all dissent. You know, you think about President Trump and his amazing presence on social media from 2016 through 2020, and they shut him down. You think about all of these efforts to keep Republicans, to keep conservatives off of the airways, no matter what type of airway it is. That's very, very, very real. And I think the other thing is that they really, truly want to make sure that their viewers are only getting one side of any given debate, which is really unfortunate. You know, when the American voters are informed voters, they make better decisions. And it really is hard for Republicans to constantly see the bias in the media and be able to say, okay, well, how are we going to react to it? We know that the mainstream media is going to be biased. The key is, how are we going to react to it? And we just have to be able to go out and find venues just like this, find opportunities to talk directly to voters, to go compete in that social media space, to create opportunities like President Trump did with Truth, and to go out there and find other opportunities through alternative media platforms to get our message out to the voters.
You know, it's unfortunate because I actually think it's healthy to have conversations even when you disagree with one another. I think there's actually something unifying about that. When I came to Family Research Council 20 plus years ago, believe it or not, I was on MSNBC every week with Chris Matthews, and we were having debates, but we could do that. The left, he was a liberal, the left is different. They don't want to have a conversation. They want to shut down any dissenting views. What that's doing, in my opinion, is dividing America.
I could not agree more. And the fact is they want that polarization. They want that division. You know, when you think about where the left is coming from, and I don't even say Democrats, I say the left, you know, where they're coming at is they want to dismantle the family. They want to dismantle America. What they want to do is make everybody dependent on the government for everything. They want to really kind of take this country down a road where the American people do not want to go. And a key component for them is to be able to stifle that debate and put their message out. I mean, George Orwell really, truly was onto something when he was writing about what America is these folks want to try and create.
Right. About 20 seconds left. You've committed you're going to give voters a clear contrast, pushing forward policies through the Republican Party platform that give voters in America a clear choice.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you think about it. Every American family is concerned about the same thing. They're concerned about jobs in the economy. They're concerned about education. They're concerned about safety and national security. Those are the issues that the American voters care about. Doesn't matter whether they're rural or urban or suburban. Doesn't matter whether they're in the north or they're in the south or they're in the west. It is all down to those family-based issues. And the Republicans listen to those voters. They understand the issues, and they're putting solutions on the table, which is why we feel we're in a great position to draw a contrast with Joe Biden and the Democrats and win big in November.
Well, we look forward to talking with you more about that, Chairman Whatley, in the days and weeks ahead. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Yes, sir. Take care.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. I'm David Salkow, thanking you for being with us, and look forward to having you back here again next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.